Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour. This is Brian Albrecht, your host and president of Global Outreach Mission. Today, our scripture is taken from a very famous psalm, Psalm 23, verse 1, which says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters, and he restores my soul." Where would we be without the Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd? We just love him so much because he does watch over our lives. He is our shepherd. We do not have wants. He meets our needs, and he helps us to be blessed. We lie down in green pastures, and he leads us to the still waters, to the place of peace, if we do his will, and if we work with him each day as we restore our soul. The only way I know to restore our soul is to read the Bible and talk to him in prayer and dedicate each day into his hands and allow him to be the Lord, allow him to give us wisdom and guidance and direction to live life in the best way. And as we do these things, he gives us comfort, he gives us peace, he gives us joy, he gives us great relationships with other believers and other brothers and sisters in Christ, and he just blesses our lives and opens up doors. That doesn't mean we don't have trials and we don't have tribulations and persecutions, but in the midst of that, he is with us because he's promised never to leave us or forsake us. He's promised to always be there when we need him the most. This is a radio edition of Global Times. Today we have in our studio Abu Saad, who's one of our global missionaries who's working in the Middle East. He's been there for several years and actually grew up there, and God has really blessed him. He's called him and has used him in a mighty way. He's had the privilege of ministering in lots of different countries over there. And today, I think we want to talk a lot about the Bible distribution and the Word of God and how powerful it is in the lives of so many. And so, Abu, why don't you share how the Lord's using the Word of God to share the gospel of Christ in the Middle East?
Yes, thank you, Dr. Brian. This is a privilege for me to share what God is doing through the distribution of the Bible in the area there. Today, as we distributing this, we believe 100% that the Word of God will make the way and will get bear the fruit and set the people free. That's what the Bible said. So today we're doing this because we believe that the Word of God only, even if we don't talk or we don't have any reaction with people, that the Word of God, the printed Word, will bear fruits. We're seeing this through the years. Many times when we were distributing, we got email or as an SMS or a short text message and say, I had this Bible since long time ago in our home. And we're talking about Muslims now who has those Bibles, because we distribute many every month, a couple thousands. So they we had this testimony, says, it's been a long time ago in our drawer, and today I opened it and I couldn't even close it. I want to read it all and then I find your address on it, and then here I'm asking you how you can help me to know more and to receive Christ. Or I'm ready. Some people say I'm ready. It's help me, lead me how to be a follower of Christ or disciple me. So we have those requests, and we're glad because we distribute thousands, and when we get those feedbacks, we get excited to see how serious. So as we know that the word of God doesn't come back void, we trust the Lord. Beside this, we having today, while we're distributing the Bibles, we're having all the social media on it. We're having the opportunity to reach out all ages through that Facebook, email, Twitter. We have website. We have even on our website, we have an e-church that we can reach those who we cannot see them weekly, especially girls today. Lots of girls in Middle East as a Muslim, they don't let them go out their families, but they have internet at home. So praise God for the technology. So we can meet with them face to face on the internet. So we sing with them. We make just a church. We sing, we preach the gospel, and they can choose also some songs with other people, not just one-on-one, but we will be a couple people meeting on one time. It's interesting always when God opened doors to use any opportunities, technology or others, to do that. And we're happy to see the feedback from pastors today. We are getting calls, just the pastor to say thank you for what have you done in our church. You changed us, you challenged us to distribute the Bible, because today everyone, I believe, even you are hearing me today, you can do that. Wherever you are, you're staying, you can give away one Bible as a gift for somebody today. Can't you do this? We're doing this today, and I'm challenging pastors today to do that in the whole Middle East. And we're so blessed. Yes, it is challenge, but you can do it. We can do it. That's how we can make the Great Commission a daily commitment.
Yes, and the Lord has really blessed us because we have our own printing press, and we can produce Arabic Bibles for about $5 a copy. Isn't that correct?
That's true. Today, the cost for one Bible to be distributed, it's costing us $5. So we appreciate your help and your support for that.
So it includes not only the printing of the Bible, but also distributing to a person so the Bible actually gets where it's supposed to go, and it's given in Christ's name by a Christian. So that's the blessing of that. Thank you so much for sharing with us about the Word of God. The Word of God is alive and powerful, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword, and it pierces the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. The Lord is really blessed, and we're so thankful that you have this privilege of sharing the Word of God, because it never returns void and always produces fruit. And so we're so thankful for this great privilege. Thank you for sharing with us today, Abu.
Thank you so much for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour. As you are aware, this is a listener-supported program, and we cannot continue to be on the air without the support of those who listen to this broadcast. We appreciate your help. We appreciate the notes that you send in. And of course, we thank you for the financial donations that come in that help us to keep this broadcast on your station. This month, we're offering a wonderful booklet entitled Proverbs. This booklet puts the whole book into a structure that's easily understood and helps us to understand the whole book even better. It tells us about different segments of the book of Proverbs and talks about different relationships. And what it does is it puts all those particular verses together that talk about that particular subject, which helps us to study and to understand at a much deeper level. This book has been very helpful in my own life, and I know that it'll be very helpful in yours. To order your copy, please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R7A7, or in the United States at Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. And don't forget to order your copy of the Book of Proverbs.
life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages for Thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my love, my God, I pour at Thy feet. Treasured soul, take myself and I will be ever only all for Thee. Take myself and I will be ever
Today's message is from Reverend Art Larson. I know you enjoy this message very much. Printed copies are available upon request.
A man was asked how he managed to live in such a state of tranquility, even though he was surrounded by adverse circumstances. His reply was profound, yet simple. He said, "I have learned to cooperate with the inevitable." Does it surprise you that trouble is a part of life? Well, probably not. We all know trouble close up and personal. Bad health, empty bank account, blighted love, grief, loss of a job, the list goes on. It shouldn't surprise us, therefore, that God permits added trials of being ridiculed and hated because we follow the Lord Jesus Christ. But trouble, whether it's common to man or unique to Christians, can reveal to us the moral fiber of our soul. Someone has written, "I've never seen a golf course without hazards. They are part of the game. Golfers speak of the courses with the most hazards as the most challenging, and they'll travel a long way to test their skill against the most demanding 18 holes. Oliver Wendell Holmes said, "If I had a formula for bypassing trouble, I wouldn't pass it around. I wouldn't be doing anyone a favor. Trouble creates a capacity to handle it. Meet it as a friend, for you'll see a lot of it, and you had better be on speaking terms with it, that is trouble." Think it not strange, then, when trouble comes. God is going to use it to test the stamina of your life and mine. The best way to handle trouble is to commit your soul unto Him in faithfulness to a faithful Creator. You see, great triumphs are born out of great troubles. Today, I want to study with you Psalm 142, a wonderful psalm of David when he was in a cave, running for his life, hiding out from those who were seeking to destroy him. If you can and have access to a Bible, open up to Psalm 142. If not, just listen as I read it and notice in the second verse two particular words, Psalm 142. "I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before Him. I showed before Him," and here are the two words, "my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then Thou knewest my path. in the way wherein I have walked, have they privately laid a snare for me. I look on my right hand, and behold, there's no man who would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors. They are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Did you notice those two words in the second verse? Let me underscore them again. David speaks about my trouble. There was a wonderful preacher in London, England, many years ago. His name was Dr. Joseph Parker, and he said this: No preacher will ever lack a congregation if he preaches to troubled hearts. And of course, he was right. For when we address our words to troubled hearts, we're sure that we're speaking to everyone. Because you see, everyone sooner or later experiences trouble and trial. And here in Psalm 142, we find even the writer David, a man after God's own heart, in great trouble. The whole psalm teaches us how to be triumphant in trouble, not how to escape trouble or be free from it, but how to glorify God in the midst of trouble and how to prove that God is greater than any trouble we might ever encounter, that God is faithful in delivering us in the time of trouble. Now, I want to talk with you about two things in this psalm. First, the reality of trouble, and secondly, our reaction to trouble. You see, life is 20% the reality of trouble and 80% our reaction to the trouble. Now, notice the reality of trouble. The Bible says in Job 5:7, man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. David is talking about his trouble. It's a time when he was a fugitive. His fortunes were at their lowest ebb. His reputation had gone and he was an outcast. And we don't know exactly what the trouble was to which he referred. This is helpful because it enables us to fit our own trouble into this picture. But we do know that he was in a cave when he wrote this. Now, the reality of trouble, David speaks about it in three ways. First of all, he tells us he was in big trouble. Secondly, he tells us it involved bad people. And thirdly, he tells us there was bitter disappointment. Now, notice David's big trouble. David says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. I poured out my complaint. I showed him my trouble. Now, God knew about it, but he's just pouring it out before the Lord. He's sharing it with God. That's great therapy, my friend. He said, my spirit was overwhelmed within me, in verse 3. He says in verse 6, I was brought, or I am brought, very low. He says, my persecutors, they're stronger than me. He says, my soul is in prison. You see, David says, I'm overwhelmed. And the word overwhelmed really means wrapped about. If you're in the midst of fog or in a great smoke, say from a bonfire that's billowing up, it seems to wrap you about. It engulfs you. And David says that this trouble brought him very low as it engulfed him and wrapped around him. This indicates a process. He went lower and lower until he felt he had touched bottom. How big was David's trouble? Now, perhaps I'm talking to someone listening now who is in the midst of an overwhelming experience at this time. You are literally enveloped, wrapped about with trouble. You're in big trouble, and you feel like you're in prison. Maybe some of you listening are in prison. But notice David speaks not only of big trouble, he speaks about bad people. He tells us that people had contributed to his trouble. Notice he says in verse 3 that his enemies had set a snare for him. They had set a trap for him. In verse 6, he refers to them as his persecutors. Now, it's bad enough to be overwhelmed with trouble, but it's doubly bad to have trouble brought upon us through the disloyalty, the malice of others, of people. sometimes even so-called friends. That's the kind of thing that is happening to David here. One man said, "I love the world. It's people I don't like." Well, we kind of smile at that, but we all have to deal with people. And there are some bad people in the world who set traps for you, who lie about you, who gossip about you, who stab you in the back, as it were. Is this happening to you? And then thirdly, David not only talks about big trouble and bad people, he talks about bitter disappointment. Listen to what he says in verse 4. "I looked on my right hand and beheld, and there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul." This must have been the hardest part of all. It is a tremendous help when we are in the midst of trouble, and we know that loved ones and friends and others understand the difficulties and come to our aid in our situation. But David felt that no one understood, no one cared, and no one was there to help. Now, even though no one, no human was there, the Lord was certainly there. And David realizes that because he's talking to the Lord. I remember what Paul said when he wrote to Timothy from his last prison when he went to his martyrdom. And he said in 2 Timothy 4:17, "At my last defense, no man stood with me, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me and protected me and helped me." So it is, we know the Lord will stand with us. Now, it's important for us to notice what David did when he was in great trouble and how he reacted. Because as I mentioned, trouble is 20% of what happens and 80% of how we react to it. When trouble comes, it's important how we react. Well, we move from the reality of trouble then to the reaction of trouble. How did David react? Well, there are some things that David did not do when he was overwhelmed with trouble. Well, first of all, he didn't brood over his trouble or do nothing about it. Now, this is important because sometimes we get depressed, distressed, and we just give up. We give in. We quit. We become inactive. We do nothing at all about it. This is fatal. Secondly, he did not indulge in self-pity. He didn't have a pity party. And it doesn't seem to be any indication that David really felt very sorry for himself. Even as we read this psalm, he didn't wallow in self-pity. And thirdly, he didn't become bitter and rebellious. He didn't question God's love and wisdom and providence. He didn't become hard and critical and ill because of his trouble. And then fourthly, he didn't worry others with his trouble to the extent of overburdening them. And what did David do when his trouble overwhelmed him? Well, he did three things. He prayed, he pondered, and he praised. Those are three things we should always do when trouble is upon us. First of all, he prayed. He brought his trouble before the Lord in prayer. Verses 1 and 2 make this quite clear. David prayed. He says, "I cried unto the Lord with my voice." With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. And I love what he says in verse 2. "I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble." He just told the Lord all about it. He just let it all hang out and he told the Lord all about it. How wonderful. You see, God is a refuge for us in time of trouble. And so we realize that the first thing we ought to do is pray. And then the second thing he did was he pondered. You see, his faith and trust in God was deepened as he began to think of how faithful God is and the fact that God would never let him down. In verse 3, he tells us that he is confident that God knew his path. He says, "When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path." He says, you know all that's happening, you know all that's going on, you know this trouble, and you know those who are causing it. You see, the Lord knows all about you and me. He knows all about your trouble. He knows all that's happening and all those who are causing your trouble. David wrote in another psalm, Psalm 34, verse 19, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all." And David was filled with hope and began to praise God. He says, "Bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about. Thou shalt deal bountifully with me." And he began to praise. Ah, how triumphant he was in trouble. He prayed, he pondered, and realized how faithful and great and good God is. You think about that, my friend. Ponder that, and you'll soon begin to praise him, saying, "Lord, just as you delivered me before, just as you've been faithful in the past, so you will be faithful in delivering me again, no matter what my trouble is." In an article for Campus Life magazine, Susan Smart describes her third and nearly last solo flight in an airplane. She had been practicing a maneuver at 5,000 feet when she lost control in her Cessna 150 began spinning wildly toward Earth. After several seconds of panic, she recalled her instructor's words. If you ever get into a spin in a Cessna 150, let go of the controls. It's built to fly on its own. Susan shouted to herself several times, let go. Finally, she yanked her hands from the controls and covered her face. After some wild yawing and pitching, the plane returned to level flight. She had fallen more than half a mile, but she survived because she had the faith to let go. Her experience vividly illustrates what it means to trust God in a time of trouble. I know it's hard to do when it feels as if everything in our lives is spinning wildly out of control. Our feelings cry out for us to panic, to doubt His promises, to ignore or disobey His instructions, and to try to solve things without Him. But those responses are futile. In Psalm 142, David cried out to the Lord in his time of trouble. He pondered God's faithfulness, and he began to praise the Lord. He knew that his only hope was to put his situation, his trouble, totally in God's hands and rely on Him. Is your life in a spin today? Let go of the controls. The best way to handle a problem is to hand it over to God. Let go and let God. Now, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, come to Him with the biggest trouble you have, your sin, and invite Him to come in and cleanse you and forgive you and change you. And if you have done that, and you're in trouble today as a Christian, remember to let go and let God. For He who promised is faithful. And even if we believe not, He is faithful. He cannot deny Himself. Oh, what a great God. And just as He brought David out of the trouble, He'll bring you out of the trouble. Just let go and let God.
I trust the message just heard will be a great blessing to you and will help you in your spiritual life. Here at Canada's National Bible Hour, we're concerned for those who listen to our broadcast that believers would continue to take in Bible truth and grow in their faith. And we have a great concern for those who may not be believers in Christ that they hear the gospel clearly. The Bible is the roadmap that leads us to salvation. And in the Bible, it tells us that we are sinners and we need a Savior. And verses such as Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Even one sin will keep us from going to heaven. And so there needs to be a way of forgiveness so that we can overcome our sin. In the flesh, we could not do that. Only God could do that. So God sent the best gift He had, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came and lived a sinless life. And He made a sacrifice of Himself. He allowed Himself to be nailed to the cross. On the cross, He bore our sins. He took our place. And He paid for every last one of our sins as He hung on that cross. And so it's a matter of faith. You need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. And I've claimed that verse myself and was saved, and my life has been changed, and yours can too, if you will only believe. Don't forget to order your copy of the pamphlet entitled Proverbs. Please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R7A7, or in the United States at Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231, to order your copy of that booklet, Proverbs. You can also find the present and past broadcasts on our website at www.missiongo.org. Please remember us in your prayers, and please write in to get your booklet. Let us know something about your life so that we can pray for you. I trust that God will give you a wonderful week of service in His kingdom.